Chapter 2. For several years now, Stephen Maturin had been perfectly aware that a life at sea, above all in a man of war, was not the waterborne picnic sometimes imagined by those living far inland. But he'd never supposed that anything could be quite so arduous as this existence between the two, neither floating free nor firmly ashore, with what conveniences the land might provide. The squadron, necessarily gathered together in a hurry and necessarily short-handed, had to be thoroughly reorganised. Above all, the unhappy Pomone. A ship always suffered from a trial for sodomy, and although her people hadn't been in her for anything like an ordinary commission, it was long enough for them to feel their position acutely, to resent the calls they heard ashore, or the smiles and meaning silence when a group of them walked into a bar. After all, one of their officers had been dismissed from the service in the most ignominious fashion possible and towed ashore on a grating in the view of countless spectators, and some of the discredit clung to his former shipmates. This corporate shame had a thoroughly bad effect on discipline, which had never been the Pomone's strongest point. And a new captain, with a second lieutenant who knew nobody aboard, was unlikely to remedy this state of affairs in the near future. She did have a good boatswain, however, and the gunner, though discouraged, was willing and knowledgeable. He and Captain Pomfret were suitably shocked when the Commodore invited them to accompany Surprise well out into the strait off Algeciras so that both ships might exercise the great guns firing at towed targets. The Pomones brought their ship out creditably, and they were reasonably brisk at the dumb show of running the 18-pounders in and out, but some of the gun crews were hesitant about firing them. Only three or four in the starboard battery had much notion of anything but point-blank aim or of judging the role. The first and second captains were competent upon the whole, but the midshipmen in charge of the divisions left much to be desired, and some of the ordinary hands belonging to the gun might never have seen an 18-pounder fired in earnest before. The fury of the recoil shocked them extremely, and after the first wavering, ragged broadside, several had to be led or carried below.